What's going on, Curiosity Builders? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs, storytellers, visionaries, and changemakers who are on a mission of chasing big ideas, telling epic stories, and leaving living legacies. Whether you're just starting out or have been at this creative and curious life for some time, I hope you'll learn something new in this podcast and find yourself inspired to break through the barriers that hold you back and keep you stuck from getting your work to work. Today's guest is a shining example of what it means to chase big ideas and leave living legacies early in life. Running a nonprofit organization, promoting a book, and wrapping up her senior year in high school, Isha Uppalapati is the founder of A Girl's Frontier, an organization that supports the entrepreneurial aspirations and leadership skills of girls who come from families that struggle financially. In this conversation, Isha shares how she learned to identify problems in her community that she wanted to solve, the importance of education, and the power of recognizing and encouraging passion in others. She also talks about the lessons she learned in writing the book, Her Toolbox, Learning to Be a Female Leader, with advice from women in power, specifically the role mentors have played in her life and why you should learn from your mistakes. Show notes and links to all the good stuff mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/455. Isha, welcome to Getting Work to Work. It's wonderful to talk with you today.
It's great to talk to you too.
I'm very excited to talk with you. But first, I would love to know what you are endlessly curious about.
I honestly just love learning every day. So literally anything that I can learn about.
That's awesome. What's the last thing that you learned about?
Probably something to do with cells in my biology class.
That's awesome. Have you always been into science?
I've actually always been more of a math person, but I do love science, but I've always been a math person.
That's cool. So when I first heard about what you were doing, the first thought in my head was, oh, wow, here is someone truly chasing big ideas. So first of all, thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be doing all of this.
Yeah, it's amazing. And just, I guess the first question that I have for you is, what inspired you to not only create a nonprofit, but also write a book and want to empower women while being a senior in high school?
Well, since I was young, I always loved like the whole concept of innovation and entrepreneurship. Over the summers, my sister and I would start little companies, whether it was car wash services or lemonade stands. We would go through the whole process of making flyers, making websites, and publicizing it just like you do with any company. And my dad and I would write these, I would write these children's books and he would help me bind them and we would put them together. And it was always something I enjoyed doing. And I had such a great support system growing up and having the ability to do all of that. So as I got older, I realized that there are so many other girls that have these incredible ideas and this incredible potential, but they might not have that support system that I did. So I realized that it was my turn to help young girls have that same support system that I was blessed to have and help them develop and nurture their entrepreneurial and leadership skills.
That is so awesome. I mean, what a great dad to be such an influence on you in a way that says, yes, you can do all these amazing things.
Yeah, I'm so grateful to both my parents. I've been really blessed to have a great family, and I'm really lucky for that.
Yeah. What a great foundation, too, for what your nonprofit would become as well. I mean, are you pulling a lot of those family examples as you build A Girl's Frontier?
I love to see it when I meet these young girls and I see that they have that family, that support system with them. They might not have the same resources that I was able to have. So I love, love seeing that support system and that family. And if it's not there, I try my best to provide it, and I try to help find mentors who can help guide these girls and provide the right support system for them.
Wow. So can you tell me a little bit about what your nonprofit is?
Well, A Girl's Frontier, it's an organization that helps young girls about my age or younger to develop their leadership and entrepreneurial potential. Mm-hmm. At A Girl's Frontier, we have multiple programs. We have a mentorship matching program where we match young girls to mentors to help guide them. We have book drives and iPad drives where we're working with multiple organizations like Destiny's Daughters of Promise and Must Ministries to help distribute these supplies to these young girls, especially during such uncertain times like the pandemic is now. And we also help sponsor education to girls around the world. One example is a group of girls at Casa de Abby, which is in Honduras, and we help sponsor their education.
Wow. I love not only that it's a local focus, but a global focus as well, because oftentimes when you're creating a nonprofit, you think about overseas, you think about developing countries, and I love how you made it super local as well.
I've always seen such a beauty in that, because at the end of the day, you will have the biggest impact on your community. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even though I love where I live and I love my community, I love everyone here, there's still so much that can be done. And I feel like it's my duty to help my community.
Yeah. And it's great too, because I really love to think that women are the future of business. I mean, let's just build up, you know, women to be business owners, entrepreneurs, leaders, founders in a way. And I'm glad that you're doing that.
Thank you. I completely, completely agree with that. Some of the young girls I've met are the smartest, most creative, and have these amazing, amazing ideas. And I'm just so excited to see where they get to go from here too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I imagine in some communities, they just don't have the support and resources available to them, and they get stuck in bad things or systems that just aren't helpful.
That you're completely correct. That's very true. And that's what we're here at A Girl's Frontier to do, to help those girls that are in those bad systems, that are in hard situations, and help them have the resources to get out of that, to build their future for them.
Mm-hmm. So as you've started this nonprofit and you've started building relationships and helping kids, how have they responded to what you're doing?
Everyone that I've worked with so far has been absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. All the young girls that I've spoken to are, they really are just so like amazing. They're so sweet. They're such great people. And mm-hmm. I love talking to them. They're so fun. They're funny. And it's really enjoyable to talk to people. And I've always been a super social person. So mm-hmm. I can talk all day. And being with these girls, it's great. I really do enjoy it.
How has the pandemic forced you to shift and change how you approach running your nonprofit?
Well, I had hoped to do a lot more in-person events this summer, but mm-hmm. and like fundraisers and like mentorship activities and such, but that was not possible because of the pandemic. But the pandemic did actually open a ton of opportunities for me, because I realized that, especially in this situation with school being online for most everyone, a lot of girls don't have the resources at home that they do at school, the technology, the books, all of that, that they need to continue their learning. Mm-hmm. So I realized that that's where my organization can come in and help and fill those gaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's fascinating to see just how the pandemic has really illuminated inequality in so many areas, whether it's technology access, affordable internet, all the way down to meals and being able to eat.
You're absolutely correct. And although I can't help with everything, and I mm-hmm. wish I could, but I would really like to make an impact in these girls' lives and help them towards their future. Because I genuinely believe education is the strongest foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Because it's, I mean, it's so easy to get cynical about education sometimes. I can only speak for myself. So as you get older, you sometimes can get cynical or just familiar or think that your experience is like everyone's experience. And it's just, you forget just how life-changing education, let alone a great education, can be on someone.
Yeah, sometimes you just forget. Like, I know that I have, and I've been like, oh, I don't want to go to school and stuff. But mm-hmm. you think about it, and you realize how important that education and how lucky you are to have that opportunity. And mm-hmm. that's what I like to remind myself, too.
Mm. So are you still in high school? Are you still a senior in high school now?
Yes, I'm a senior at Walton High School in Georgia.
That just, I mean, when you go to class, I mean, granted, it's probably online right now, but like you've done all of this. Like, do people recognize that? Or is it just kind of like by day, you know, you're a student and by night you're a superhero?
Well, at the end of the day, I'm still the same person I was when all these people met me in kindergarten. I'm still the same girl. And all my friends have and teachers and everyone have been so supportive and have really been great throughout all of this. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I am just me. And mm-hmm. I love that that's how I'm treated, too. I'm not that.
That's great.
It would be any different.
Mm. So did you have a lot of support at school as well as your family to guide you towards a nonprofit? I mean, what was that process like?
I was like looking at my community and I saw where there could have been that improvement and seeing what I was gifted and thinking, oh, I can share this with people around me. And I really thought about how I would do that. And I kind of just realized that starting a nonprofit was the best way to get my actions through. Because when I was researching of what I can do to make a change, there weren't any nonprofits exactly similar to what I'm doing. And mm-hmm. I really just wanted to introduce this concept to the world or my community, more importantly.
The fact that you're learning these lessons now and you're still so early in your journey, I mean, it's exciting to think about just where you're going to go, knowing all of the critical skills that you've learned about business and developing organizations. Just that you look out there, you see what's missing, you look for the gap, you look for the ways that you can fill that gap. I mean, you are light years beyond how some people think about business. And I mean, I'm not just trying to elevate you or, you know, get you, you know, put you on a pedestal or anything, but it's just, what you've learned is so tremendously important to understand.
One of the biggest things that I will always remember, it was this book we had to read for school. And it was like over the summer. And I just was really annoying, you know, never liked summer reading. Always loved reading, but not when it had to do with school. But it was the book Originals. And yeah. In the book somewhere, he says how you can't create a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. You mm-hmm. have to find a problem that exists and create a solution for that. And mm-hmm. that was the whole thing with why like Segway didn't work out, because there was never a problem in where the Segway was needed or something like that was needed. And mm-hmm. so I realized after reading that book, I was like, well, what are the problems in my society that like could be fixed? And how do I do that?
Originals is one of those books that it's often mentioned in this show because it's so impactful on people. And it's great to hear how it's impacted you. I'm glad that summer reading made a difference.
Yeah, I actually love that book. I ended up loving it. It was a really good book.
Yeah, everyone should read it. I'm curious what message you would give to people who maybe or most likely don't give enough credit to teenagers and young women for their dreams, especially those like yourself who really want to change the world.
I mean, I just think that you can't underestimate anyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone has incredible potential. Mm-hmm. And by nurturing that potential, people can do anything that they want. And to the young girls who have this potential but are too scared because of what people say to them, what friends or family tell them that they can't do, they just need to find the right support system and find the right people that will help them.
So when you say potential, like, are we thinking big ideas? Are we thinking the smarts, you know, the abilities in math and science or reading and writing? Like, what does potential look like to you? When you see someone, what are you listening for that illustrates or illuminates their potential?
To me, more than anything, it's passion for something. Mm. It's to really love what they're doing, whether it's a big idea or a small idea. When they talk about something and they talk about it with a love for it, with a passion for it, and with that love, with that passion, it gives them the ability to do anything.
Mm. I'm thinking about Greta Thunberg. Yeah, she is like when we talk about women who just stand up for what they believe in, I think of her. And it's just, that's the kind of passion that we want to see. They're willing to stand up for ideas, but also just remind people just how entrenched they've gotten in their thinking sometimes.
Yeah. And she's a great, great example of mm-hmm. having passion and not letting people tear her down and not letting people say that she can't do it because of her age. Because mm-hmm. there are so many people who do say that about her, that has not stopped her. And that is something that is so, so admirable.
Mm-hmm. I can't help but wonder would you ever want to meet her one day?
Oh, yes, 100%.
Who else would you want to meet one day?
My two biggest, like, people that I've always thought of as role models for me that I've never met are mm-hmm. one, Sheryl Sandberg, because it was actually her book, Lean In, that mm-hmm. really inspired me to do a lot of what I'm doing.
That's awesome.
And then also like the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And mm-hmm. she is an inspiration to not only me as being someone who wants to promote female leadership, but just she's also an inspiration to me as a woman who's accomplished so much and never mm-hmm. let anyone tear her down.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Just the power of representation, the power of seeing your role models, seeing your heroes, and know that because of them, you can do it too.
Yes, exactly. That's also a lot of what I wanted to show in my book, mm-hmm. Her Toolbox. I compiled this advice from these women leaders, and I also told their stories of some of the challenges they've been through to kind of help explain these women went through this, but they came out stronger, they came out better, and they're extraordinarily successful. That's why everyone else can do that too.
I think it's awesome that you also wrote a book. I mean, that's just, I mean, how did that idea pop into your head?
I was getting really, really good advice from some of my mentors, and I realized, I was like, I'm so blessed to have all these mentors in my life. I'm blessed to have this advice, so why don't I just share it with people? And young girls can benefit from it just as much as I have. So I compiled that advice together and interviewed some extraordinary women leaders and compiled that advice. And it just kind of flew. It was just a fast process. It just kind of flew out of me, all the words and all everything. It just was wonderful.
That's awesome. What were some of the tools that you discovered in the toolbox for empowering others and creating change? You don't have to give them all away, but what are some of them?
Always learn from your mistakes is one of the biggest ones. Everyone makes mistakes, and don't be afraid of failing or making that mistake. Just know that each mistake is a learning opportunity. And mm-hmm. also, you have to be in the driver's seat to your own life. That was one of the best pieces of advice I was given. And in a way, there are so many opportunities around you, but you're not going to be handed those opportunities. You have to fight for them and you have to grab them as they come up. So you have to be in control mm-hmm. of what you're doing.
That's so good. Any other tools that pop into your head that you want to share?
Learn how to build your support system and make sure you reach out to people that you feel like would be great mentors for you. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to reach out to people. People are a lot more helpful than you think they are. Not everyone's mean and not everyone's bad. Most people are good people and they want to help you, which is one of the things that I've learned through all of this. People want to help, mm-hmm. and just take the initiative to reach out and don't be afraid of failing.
Yeah. What I appreciate about that message of mentorship and not being afraid to reach out is that you can lose that ability or that desire to take the chance, to take the risk. Because, you know, as I've gotten older, they're busy people. Why would they take time for me? And it's just like, I guess that feeling sometimes never goes away of like, why would they talk with me? So I'm glad that you're just reminding not only young women, but people of all ages to just say, hey, find the people that can mentor you and take a chance.
Yeah. I mean, people should not be afraid of someone saying no, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, someone saying no doesn't hurt you at all. But there's an exactly equal, if not higher, chance that someone will help you and someone will help guide you, which is mm-hmm. one of the biggest helps that you can get.
Yeah. I'm curious if you, when you were reaching out to mentors, like, was the question, would you mentor me? Or did you have a very specific ask for them?
Some of my mentors, it was never a, can you mentor me? Usually I met them in other settings, say it was at fundraisers or another organization, and I met them through that, and I would start talking to them. And without even asking, will you be my mentor? I would ask, would you like to meet up and go to lunch sometime? Would you mind if I interviewed you for a book? People are willing to give you the time, and they're honestly a lot, they're just so giving and mm-hmm. just so open to things.
Yeah. Well, I think you said the magic words too. Can I interview you for my book? Because they probably looked at you in that moment and said, okay, she's actually writing a book. Whoa. Okay. You know, I wonder if that was in their internal thought process.
Yeah, that one wasn't usually what I started off with, but I did reach out to several women and mm-hmm. ask them for the purpose of, and this was my first time meeting them. I had researched their incredible careers and how much they've accomplished and how successful they were. And I realized how great advice they could give. So I asked them if they would be willing to give me the time and be willing to let me interview them for a book mm-hmm. and share their life stories. And I got tons of women that were so, so willing and so helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So in the spirit of the questions that you asked the female leaders for your book, I thought it would be interesting to see how you would answer those questions if you're game for that.
Yes, I am.
Awesome. So again, I love these questions. I just love it when people have the curiosity and the desire to ask questions. And so the first question that you asked them was this: what has been your biggest challenge so far?
My biggest challenge is overcoming like the fear of failing within myself. Mm. That's always been something that I've been terrified of. And I've definitely strayed away from doing things because I was so scared of failing it and not doing well or getting like rejected from this, getting rejected from that. And I've been afraid of failing. And that is something that I think I have begun to overcome. Mm-hmm. It'll always be something that will challenge me throughout my life, that fear. But I have learned the tools and how to overcome that.
Yeah. What's one way that you've overcome fear of failing?
With writing the book. I was reaching out to these incredible women. Mm-hmm. And this was before I had gotten the advice of don't be afraid to reach out to people, because that's the mm-hmm. advice I got when I interviewed these women for the book. But I'm reaching out to these incredible women who have so many things going on in their lives, with their family, their jobs, everything that's just going on around them. And I was terrified that they would not give me time, that they'd be like, no, I don't want to meet with you. No, I don't have the time. No. But I reached out and it worked. It all came together. It came out better than I thought it would be. And it was getting over it. That fear was a huge step for me.
The second question that you asked, what advice would you give to young girls?
You can do anything you put your mind to. It just takes a lot of hard work.
And then the third question, what is your passion?
I think my passion is empowering girls to be leaders, because I hope to see one day equality in all forms of leadership, in gender inclusivity, in all forms of leadership, where we don't see someone as a woman leader, but as just a leader. I can't remember the exact quote. It's from Sheryl Sandberg, but I guess I'm paraphrasing it. In the future, I don't want to see just woman leaders. I just want to see leaders where you're not classified by whether you're a woman or not, whether everyone is considered like equal in that plane.
Isha, what have you learned in this journey that you never want to forget as you get older?
I think the thing that I've genuinely learned the most is how kind and willing to help people are, and how just good people are. Because sometimes we get carried away and we forget how, like, you get mad at that one person, you get annoyed at this one thing, and you get mad, but or sad or whatever it is. But when you stop and realize most people are there to help you, and people are genuinely, I believe that people are genuinely good.
So apart from originals, if you were to have someone read a book right now, as we wrap up 2020 in the next few months, what book would you have them read?
Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg.
Awesome. Well, Isha, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. Thank you for empowering women, and thank you for just wanting to build up a world where leaders are leaders, and just all the inclusivity of what that means. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And good luck this year. I mean, you're on a journey of amazing things already.
Thank you. Thank you for having me too. I really enjoyed today.
I don't know about you, but I am so inspired by the work Isha is doing. And if there's one takeaway from this episode, it's to identify a problem that you really care about in this world and take steps to solve it. You don't need to start a nonprofit organization or even write a book, but you can find creative ways to make a difference. You can reach out to people, you can build your support system, and whether you're 18 or 80, it's necessary to do. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.